Welcome to the Consummate Athlete Podcast, where we explore what it means to be a well-rounded, happy, goal-crushing athlete. Every week, myself, sports journalist Molly Herford, and cycling coach and kinesiologist Peter Glassford interview experts and chat through all of your training questions. We're excited to have you along for the ride.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Consummate Athlete Podcast. Peter, how's it going?
It's going well. Happy to be here. Yeah, what's been new with you over the last week?
So many things, so many home projects now that we're back, so much running, a good long run with friends.
That's right. You knocked off a 20 miler, so it was a big weekend, but you did all right. It was colder here, but not bad running conditions.
Yeah, no, that's all been good. A little bit of niggles going on in the knee, but
pain.
We're working it out. It's all fine. We're not going to panic about it just yet.
Well, you're remembering you have all these gizmos and gadgets. You have those compression leg boots. So we're going to try and pull out. I always find people buy these gizmos and then they don't get used. So
to be fair, I used those so much when I first got them. Like, I was so good about it. And then, like, I think I've just incrementally, like, slowly just gotten busier and busier and busier to where, really hard to find the hour to sit in them. I mean, that said,
this isn't an ad for the compression boots. I'm just saying, when you buy a gizmo, you want to believe in it and use it here periodically.
Sure.
So there you go. You can bring it back out and change up the routine.
Go. Yeah. Yeah.
So we have that. What have you written recently?
A lot of articles. So many articles. Actually, I was super stoked. So Apple News picked up one of the features I did for Canadian Running Magazine all about sort of running and longevity, which is a topic that we are becoming more and more interested in, for ourselves as some of us get older. Just Peter here. I'm staying the current age that I am, if not a little younger. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. But I mean, you know, ultimately age is coming for all of us. So doing that article is super cool because I got to talk to a lot of runners who are in their 70s, 80s and are, you know, setting world records or just still running for fun. I'm actually excited. I'm heading to Toronto on Friday to do a track workout with, I believe she's the 76-year-old world champion.
Oh, I didn't know you were doing that as well. I know you were going to hang out with Misha, who you're working on an upcoming book. Is it a memoir or what is that called?
It a memoir. Yeah, with Strong Girl Publishing.
She's going for the Olympics, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, a track runner out of Toronto. So watch for Misha. But you're going to run with both Misha and this?
And Carla, yeah.
Okay.
Very excited.
Okay.
So lots of fun stuff going, lots of projects going. How about you? Lots of plans. I feel like now is like the time where people start with their summer plans.
Sure. Yeah, I think this week it's coming up. Is it this week the stage race or is this one? No, this one's going to be the first gravel 50 miler or something is the plan of the week. But yeah, lots of 3-month plans. People, you know, finding out about these very customized, made for you 3-month plans. So it's always fun to see what people are up to. And it's always different. There's some people who are going on, you know, European cycling trips and that's what we're getting ready for. And then other people are, you know, I want to beat my friends at the 24 hours of summer solstice, which we'll be at with our friends from Payable apps as well. And then, you know, the weekly world championship is a common one as well. People just want to crush that weekly world championship.
So it's, love that.
You know, all these things are different challenges and there's ways to do them more optimally, you know, as we think about, you know, when do we fit in volume and around, you know, of course, family and work as well, aside from the winning or beating of your friends.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's all sort of leading us into a lot of the questions we've been getting. We're mid-March now as we're recording this, and the weather is, in most places, starting to kind of turn to the, it's maybe not optimal to ride outside.
It seems like if you're not in Tahoe, you're getting like a bit of taste of early spring. It seems like what's happening. Tahoe, I think, I haven't actually seen that, but people keep telling me that Tahoe gets a lot of snow. But I did see that there's record temperatures set on the west coast of Canada, Edmonton and Banff. And then certainly here in Ontario, more in central.
I mean, that's what we're looking at. It's in the negatives today and it is snowing.
But then it goes back. It does go back.
That's what makes March a really tricky month, right?
In April in Canada often, yeah.
For sure,
Spring. The spring is a tough time.
And I mean, I think those first few rides outside, like inevitably, they're going to be the full on, you know, tights and booties and jackets and kind of all of that stuff. Or at the minimum, the question mark of what do you wear, right? Like, I think both of us in the past week have gone outside and come back in and had to change
Well, I was going to say,
entirely.
it's not just cyclists. We always talk, cycling is more gear heavy. You're going to have things on the bike, different bikes, different, the wind becomes much more of a factor versus running is, a little more flexible. You can leave in a coat and unzip it. But there's still, days you've left in shorts and then days you're in
No, three.
tights and then days you've probably regretted either choice.
3 days this week, I have left the house and come back and changed.
So yeah, we'll talk through some strategies for this time of year. And this is in line with, I just had my latest article come out with Canadian Cycling Magazine. I think this will be in the most recent issue. So we're in March, so it'll be sort of a March, April issue, I think. But it's also linked online for subscribers. And the idea is, should I stay indoors or should I go outside now? And I'm not sure what Matt was thinking with the now, but
Yeah, now is like really abrupt,
maybe now
really.
is this spring what we're talking about.
Yeah, I like that. It sounds very like demanding, like right now, immediately,
And
as
so
you're
we'll
listening to
link to that
this.
article. Again, you do need to subscribe to get the whole gist of it. But we also have a video apparently that Molly and I did. We did a talk for Ontario Cycling in 2021, maybe, about prepping to get back outside on the bike in the spring.
Yeah, that was a whole presentation. So you can watch the entire thing, or we'll give you a bit of the cliff notes here, the spark notes.
Sure.
Yeah, so I think the first part, let's just maybe talk about like the why you should want to get outside right now. Because I mean, you've had this from a few clients this week. Ultimately, I think the transition to outdoors in the spring is really tough for people because suddenly it goes from being able to bop on the trainer and be riding in 30 seconds. They've been doing that for a few months. We always kind of the first few rides back just are kind of a little painful as far as the getting ready
Well,
goes.
you have to find things and the bike has to get outside. Some people have two bikes, so it's a little better, but some people have to take it off the trainer. And then of course, then there's that, if you have to take it off and it gets muddy, then getting it back on the trainer for the next day. This past weekend was a great example. Saturday was okay weather, like dry, still chilly, but great ride outside. But then Sunday, most people ended up indoors because it was snow sleeting and again, even colder than it was Saturday. So you could be in trouble then if you had to get your bike cleaned and set up on the trainer. Again, this is a lot of time for people. You're maybe carrying your bikes into the house, into the basement, upstairs, into apartment buildings. We all have different barriers and things we have to overcome to make this happen.
Yeah, so I think my first tip is probably just like when you first hit this outdoor riding season, there's probably almost like an easy one of your off days or easy days or whatever should really be the preparation for the going outside. So this is where we do pull out all of the clothes and the gloves and the caps and the hats and the booties and
And the
everything.
way, a lot of times clients will spend too much time staring at the forecast. What I really look at in the forecast is, will I be getting wet? Is it going to be cold? So then this influences the coats and the vests. And I haven't actually gotten much into long, like tights this year, where it gets really sub-zero. But yeah, are you going to need those? So getting those things ready. And then is it going to be possible to get out likely, right? And this will depend a little bit on when you can ride during the day. When it's dark all winter, it gets harder if you're 9 to 5.
Well, and a lot of people are probably a little annoyed if they were early morning cyclists because you just were able to ride outside in the early morning for the last few weeks and then daylight savings time
Sure.
came and now it's more you can get your after work ride in, but your morning ride is going to be a bit more of an issue.
So I break this down in the article. It's certainly not, I think my bent is usually that outside is great. We have to do things like looking where we're going. We have to navigate. We have to balance our bicycle. So there's a lot of things that indeed riding outdoors is efficient, sorry, effective because it is the thing. Whereas indoors can be time efficient. And this is the gist of this article. Now we have to recognize that we have lots of people who, again, work a ton, have kid stuff. They have 30 minutes to get this done. And if they get a flat while they're out or stopped at a bunch of lights or crash and then their kids are alone or they can't get them to soccer or they don't get to the important meeting. So there's a lot of reasons that you would train indoors. Certainly where you live, I have a few clients that never ride indoors, but they have no kids. Their schedules are very flexible. They live in a great location where, they can fat bike almost out the door. The roads are very safe. They have all the clothing. They have the power washer set up, the indoor heated shack. They love doing mechanics. And so there's a big spectrum there between the person who lives in the city and has kids and everything else.
For
So
sure.
during the week, what I say in the article, when we get into spring, because we are assuming that these two people might be going to the same event. They might all be going to Paris to Ancaster or a Spring Classic, Barrie-Roubaix. What are some of the other big ones in the States? We just had Mid-South Gravel, which is a really early one, but they might be going to Sea Otter. We have a few clients doing the Sea Otter one.
Even Unbound in early June, right? Like we're 2.5
we
months
know,
out from that.
Exactly. And these two people, the busy city person with kids and, you know, working 70 hours a week, still might be going to Unbound. And then we have the person who lives in the country and has their own fat bike course and their outdoor shed and they love bike mechanics and multiple bikes. And they might both be going. And you know what? We don't know who's going to win. It could go either way. These people, you know, different paths get each there. The thing is they have to converge a little bit as we get into spring. And on those weekends, we do need them out doing some training. So it is going to take an investment in time. And for that time limited person, it may mean that instead of a 4-hour ride, it's a 2.5-hour ride or a 3-hour ride.
Right.
Or instead of a 2-hour ride, it's a 90-minute ride because there's a bit of cleaning up and organization to do. And we believe that that is effective because you have to balance and look where you're going and navigate when you're out there. So mm-hmm. that's the idea, is that it is worth it. It is effective because there's more than just strictly, you know, putting out, you know, perfect power on your trainer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yes, I would say our philosophy on that has definitely softened in the last few years. Just sort of, I think so.
I love the trainer. Did people say I didn't like the trainer?
You said you didn't like the trainer. I would say.
Likes the trainer.
I would say as a young man, you were like a little more hardcore on the you need to get outside as much as possible. And I think as we've gotten a little older and like started to recognize time commitments and constraints and lives being busier, we're much more understanding of the fact that for a lot of people the trainer is really the only way they're going to get rides in, and it's not necessarily like gritting it out.
Which is sometimes a good way of looking at these questions, right? Is like what are the actual alternatives and like options for you, right? And the thing we also I guess are maybe more cognizant of too is, you know, sometimes the risk is also very high, right? Some of these people might go outside and they're very skilled, or again they have studs on their bike, maybe the roads aren't as slippery where they are, and then other people, you know, if they fall, they can't afford to fall over, and you know their hips are delicate or you know whatever, you know, we get more delicate, we can't afford to be out and have injury. So yeah, you have to sort of parse through that and see like what is the best path forward, recognizing that at some point, you know, in 2 months or less, you are both going to Kansas and riding 200 miles with a bunch of your favorite friends, you know, you know, and it's going to be muddy and you're going to be on and off your bike. So we do have to prepare you for the challenge, but you know, we recognize that there's lots of ways to get there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So, you know, the one thing, you know, this past winter or this past weekend, you know, when we're just talking to these skills and the benefits of the riding, you know, this past weekend, I was out and I did hill intervals on the Sunday. And so it took about 2 hours door to door. I told you I was eating Cheerios 2 hours after I was getting dressed.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
Post-workout, I was there. And I had a 92 minute workout door to door with intervals. And it started chilly, but okay. It turned into a snowstorm.
It's the weirdest weather ever.
So I was having to go, I started warming up with big lobster claw gloves and a raincoat over top of my coat to warm up. Then I had the raincoat off. I took the gloves off, went to more like knit gloves. Then it turned into zero visibility, like rain snowstorm. And so I had to finish the last two intervals with almost no visibility. And at the top of the mountain, I'd have to do up my coat, put up my like face warmer thing, then descend back down the mountain and then go back up again and undo my coat. So there's all these things where you're practicing taking coats off, taking gloves off, switching gloves, which, you know, you might not in Unbound, you're probably not switching off multiple sets of gloves, but you might pull your gloves on and off or grab food or stretch your back. So it's all, you know, certainly doing up coats and undoing coats, you know, riding no handed. So there's all these things that are embedded into that experience of, yeah, it sucked. It really wasn't great. You know, I was cold at finishing it off, but you know, some of these experiences are things that then transfer to, you know, even in a hot race, grabbing stuff out of your pocket, stretching your back, these sort of things, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's part of what we would do versus indoors. Sure, I could have done the exact same workout indoors and maybe it would have been more perfect. And maybe I would be done in, you know, 100 minutes instead of 120 minutes. And that's including like spraying the bike off and re-lubricating it and getting it dried off to bring it into our condo. That I guess I'm just trying to say like, I could have probably, or maybe I would have ridden 2 hours or eight indoors or something like that. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. So, you know, for someone who is kind of then that transition to outdoors thing. I do think that we talk a ton about gear organization here and on the website and in our book, Becoming a Consummate Athlete, which, by the way, is on Kindle Unlimited. If you
hey, we're just telling you that yesterday. I didn't realize that. So you can like read it for free.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
At any rate.
I guess if we could encourage people, if they have Kindle Unlimited, just sort of flip through those pages would be great for us. It doesn't cost fantastic. You money, but we get paid per page or something.
So also rate and review. super helpful. Anyway, big part of what we talk about is gear organization, because I think this is actually more of what stymies people than the idea of actually going outside is the, oh crap, where are my gloves? Where are my booties? The jacket that I want is in the wash. Like, I don't know where the jacket I want is, all that stuff. And I think if you just take the time to kind of figure out your setup now and have, here's your drawer with all of this stuff, and here's where the gloves live, here's where the jackets live, here's sort of the five things I do on the bike as far as like cleaning it each time. Kind of getting after every ride, getting everything back to what do you call it, like factory reset or factory default or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that all really helps speed up the getting out the door, because I think most of us, it's more of just like the, oh, it's going to take forever to get ready. And you kind of are dreading that. And the trainer just seems so easy by comparison. So that just ends up being the default because it's simpler.
Sure. And I think we want to have both set up too, right? I think that would be ideal, is that you do have access to both these things, because there will be days where it just makes more sense for quality or to get it done. And we do think sometimes it's actually you're combining these things on a weekend. You know, maybe you can go out and you can grin and bear, 90 minutes, but you're trying to get 3 hours in again because you're getting ready for Unbound and it's, coming. So you're trying to get that 3 hour when you have the block on the weekend, but you have to come indoors because you're freezing and it turned into a snowstorm and it's getting dangerous outside. So then you might come back indoors. And so those combo workouts, if again, you can swing the amount of equipment and switching over, that's a great solution to this time of year that gets used.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have, should you go indoors or outdoors? We're saying both. Certainly we have some people too who are cross training. So, yesterday I do on this workout I described, I then was out for a second workout running in the afternoon then. But that could certainly also be something that someone is combining a run and bike.
That's sort of one of your favorite
1 hour on the trainer, 30 minutes out running. And for a lot of clients, we spoke about this last week, I think, with the what counts as training, it could probably be the dog walk. If you have a vigorous walking dog, you get out and sort of starts trudging. And then we always say, wear the heart rate monitor, and that will give you an indication of whether that is. But for a lot of people, walking can actually be decent cardiovascular training. And if you were going to sort of warm up, cool down anyhow on the bike, you do the main meat of the workout, then, maybe that cool down walking is actually an okay scenario. And again, save some of that motivation and get some of these other factors that we like about cross training as far as range of motion, time in nature, these sort of things.
Plus your dog is psyched.
Well, and I mean, again, we only have so much time in the day. So it's, if the dog does have to get out, maybe you're going to go pick up something, do an errand, just phone someone while you're doing it. There's some of these things there's only so much time in the day, right?
I will tell you, yesterday I had to drop a return off at Staples, and it was like the clangiest metal thing that had like pieces in it. So as I ran with it though, so as I was running to Staples, I had this like box in my backpack, and it was just clang, clang, clang every step I took. Mm-hmm. Like the looks I got. Also then Staples was closed. So I had to I had an extra 40 minutes of running to wait for it to open. So good time. I think people thought I was sort of nuts on the trail, but you do what you gotta do.
Sure. Sure. And I think so we were talking about errands, making those into a thing. And I think as we're trying to get the volume built up, the other option we have is doubles on the weekend, which sometimes fits okay in schedules. Maybe you have kids and they're going to get up at whatever time kids get up, and you're going to get up early and do 30 to 60 minutes on the trainer. And then maybe later in the day, you can sneak out, in the afternoon, there's a mental hurdle a lot of times as you get later in the day. Some people are used to it because they train after work. They train at 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock at night. But you could use that on the weekend too. So it might be an hour in right off the bat, and then 90 to 2 hours in the PM or a combination of sports, certainly that cross country skiing and that sort of thing through the winter. We'll see if he'll use that. So that's another thing, is that we're trying to get ready for the, bigger weekend rides the second weekend. And usually it's in April and into May. You might be doing that on the weekend where you're trying to divide these and just find a bit of windows, a couple windows on the weekend. And maybe just, you know, maybe you're like me and now the idea of riding more than 90 minutes on the train or even an hour is crushing. You might have to deal with, you know, 2 1-hour blocks. And I think that's great, right? We really like frequency. In the running world, the rowing world, the swimming world, these double workouts are so normal. Whereas in cycling, we see less of them for a couple reasons. You know, we don't support our body weight, and you know, there's sort of a difference there a little bit. But I do think that it's a very effective way to train. And we know we talked a bit about that frequency limited, where people at first have to get up into 5 and 6 rides a week. For some people, that might be a way to get to 5 or 6 rides, but you're still getting your 2 off days, right? Where
Oh, yeah.
you're getting an extra dose on a Saturday, you ride twice, and then maybe you can still take Monday and Friday off, or you have to because of life.
Right.
So that would be the other thing is, you know, even just volume aside, which we all think about, frequency might be something we can, you know, leverage a little bit as well.
Yeah, and that feels nice on the calendar just to like have all the little like X'd off or green light or whatever you want to,
Sure.
however your
I
method
mean,
of
or
recording
workouts.
is.
Okay, cool. So that's that. Is there anything else? You know, we talked, did you want to talk about like equipment or what else did we want to talk about as far as spring training?
I mean, I think that pretty much covers it. I would definitely say I've talked a bit about this on the blog. I was doing kind of a series that was like things that I think are worth like saving money on, splurging on, that kind of thing. And I will say a good raincoat, like if you don't have a good cycling rain jacket, that is probably like the best investment you can make. I tend to go a size up because that way, if you don't have a winter coat, a raincoat can be your winter coat if you just layer enough under it. So I always
Sure.
like going the size up so I can put more stuff under it.
Yes.
But yeah, absolutely a good raincoat. I like Seven Mesh, Gore-Wear. We've had a couple of good ones from Rafa.
I wear a lot of pearl
Pearl Izumi,
stuff
yeah.
too. Yeah, and it's definitely, I do a lot. So I have like a heavier raincoat if it's really raining. And often it's not as cold if it's rainy. You know, it could be cold, but not, you know, sub-zero. You know, I think that's assumed if it's raining, not snowing. But then I do like that bigger coat. I often get one that's a little bigger, that's super stuffable, super what's the
Packable.
packable, that I'll warm up with. So I'll put that on over top of like a bigger coat or a couple long sleeve jerseys or whatever I'm wearing, and I'll start warming up. Almost I call it like my garbage bag. I like put a garbage bag on because I do not like being cold rolling out. But then this thing, I can either stuff it down the front of my shirt, or I can just, it stuffs, so I can put it in my pocket or pack or whatever I
Yeah.
have with me. So anyone who's cold, like a cold person, I always say if you don't ever get to that where you're too hot and you're overdressed, be ridiculous about it. Like wear the garbage bag coat, wear the puffy coat over top of your cycling clothes. Like some people might have to wear winter jackets, like actual ski jackets,
Oh, for sure.
and get out to where it's comical, like you are so sweaty, and then you'll be like, oh, winter riding isn't
Yeah.
that bad. I can actually be too warm. And
Yeah.
I think that's a great spot to get to. And then you can start playing with things like removing hats, removing, that's why I have multiple sets of gloves is for cooling, which lets me overdress my core, but then play with what's on my hands for cooling, right? So I think that's a great tip that you said there, is around like the sizing of the raincoat sometimes can be a thing to
For
leverage.
sure. Bolocho also has a packable like windbreaker. It's pretty rainproof and it is the stretchiest thing I have ever worn for a jacket. Like I can fit it over my run pack,
Which
which
is
is
nice because then they don't get caught in the wind. That's the only thing about a bigger coat, is that you're going to end up with like a
yeah,
sail.
you,
You're
the
the
stretchier,
flappy sail
yeah,
person.
stretchier the better for sure. And the nice thing with that is, like I say, I can zip it over my my pack, so that's actually helped even on the super cold days where I need the hose to stay not frozen, so
Which
to
is
be
a
able
common
to
thing.
Yeah, to be able to zip it over, and then if I want to take it off and stuff it in is a really, really big
Sure.
plus.
And I think for running, that warming up idea is probably great. You know, even some people are leaving early in the day because they have to do it before family. So it might be super cold to start. And again, you aren't as warm. You're not warmed up, perhaps. So then this will help you get sweaty. And then just as you start feeling that, you might stuff it down the front of your shirt. Or like I say, just stuff the whole thing if you think you're good and rolling. Sometimes it's, you know, getting to the trail or getting to the, for us, it's out of the city. So it's like more open road. And then suddenly you'd go to gravel or to the trail. So for mountain biking or gravel, I find often once I get to the off-road terrain, you slow down. So the wind's less, it's more sheltered usually. But that warm-up coat is just great, right? Lots of sports do that. It's just in cycling, you sort of have to carry, or running, you have to carry it with you. So everyone's a little you know, I don't really want to carry this the rest of the day, but I find those stuffable ones, especially now everyone has bento boxes and burrito bags and all these things and packs, right? So we can carry some of these. And this time of year, as I said on my ride, it could be a blizzard or you end up in a rainstorm. So you're not going to regret having that in case, that, you know, emergency coat later in the day.
Yeah. And then I think the other thing to just mention here is sort of figuring out what your post-ride plan is. How are you planning on cleaning the bike? Because I think the worst thing is to get back from your ride, realize that your bike is, you know, now muddy and kind of messy, and you don't have a plan. And this is obviously if you have a big garage and like a bike wash station already built in, like instead of having like one of those dog wash stations in your mud room, you actually built in a bike wash station. Great. You're golden.
Yeah. Your life is good.
Yeah. Yeah. but if you're like us and you live in a condo that does not have a garage, you do kind of have to be a little bit ahead of the curve almost, because when you get back and you're tired and you're cold and you're wet, all you want to do is jump in the shower. And you're very good at this and I'm very bad at this. Like, you are very good at pushing through and getting your bike clean before you do anything else.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not going to happen. I always think as I come in, I do have that thought, like, I'll do it later. And then I'm like, no,
you won't.
No. So often I'll like put on a coat if I'm wet, like just over top. Like, I won't even change usually. I'll maybe grab different gloves. Like, if it's super cold, the metal and putting your hands in water is going to be tough. So we have like latex gloves, which is like a mechanic strip to wear like surgeon's gloves while you're handling this stuff. And then you have dexterity, but it keeps the water and the touching of the metal like from freezing your hands anymore.
It also keeps you from getting super greasy and gross.
Sure. So. But yeah, we have a portable pressure washer that we sort of keep in our garbage closet. So when I come in, it's pretty quick now. We have a pretty good, for a condo where we have to bring bikes inside of our actual like living space, where we have a pretty good setup now. But before we had that, the other trick I would do, is I would just put it into like our vehicle. If your vehicle can take the thing, you know, if you have a big van or truck, I guess that's secure, you could put it in there. And then some people will have to go to a car wash later, depending on the situation. So it definitely prolongs the whole ordeal.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think just having all that stuff kind of ready to go before you leave, so you're not trying to find the towels and find the dish soap and find the bucket and all that.
System is close to, like, if the hose can be set up. It's tough this time of year because some hoses, you don't want them to freeze on where you are in the world, but there you go.
Yeah. All right, cool. All right. Before we get into our last question, quick shout out to our sponsor, AG1. We've talked about it before. We'll talk about it again. Just the easiest way to hit all of your nutrients. You've got minerals, vitamins, probiotics, prebiotics, adaptogens, and of course our greens, just kind of our one-stop shop.
And it's NSF or sports certified. Yeah. So we like that. It's, you know, guaranteeing what's in there.
Yes. And I think I said it last week, but we ran out for a couple of weeks in February there, just poor planning on my part. And definitely my hydration in the morning took a nosedive. I'd say I didn't feel quite as perky all day. I think it's one of the best ways to very quickly ensure that you're drinking a pint of water early in the morning. And I think it tastes great.
It does. It does. And a lot of times what we talk about with this product is we like it because it has a lot of the things that people are looking at. It's got the probiotic, and, you know, you see the adaptogens, the mushroom complexes are sort of trendy right now as well. So that's in there. Bit of a multivitamin is in there. So it does sort of bring it down to, here's one product. You know, you don't need to go searching for a bunch of different ones or combining things or risking, you know, contamination in some of these. It's sort of this one source. So it's a lot easier to say, you know, this is the one that I'm taking.
Yep. Check.
Yeah.
Yes. So you can head over to drinkag1.com/MollyH. If you sign up, you get 5 free travel packs, a year of immune supporting vitamin D, and of course the AG1 delivered right to your door. Very convenient. Highly recommend drinkag1.com/MollyH. Okay. Last question. And actually this sort of relates to our other question, but it's a bit more nuanced, I guess. Am I the only person who doesn't use the trainer over the winter? So this is someone who doesn't ever use the indoor trainer. Will cross training be enough to, I guess, prepare you for the racing season?
And maybe implicit in this is they're not the person I was describing who has the heated shop, loves bike mechanics, and is riding every single day, just like, you know, dealing with whatever winter conditions are presented to them, you know, fat biking and gravel grinding, you know, and ice, you know, the icicle. I would say these are the people with like the icicles on their beards and the beardsicles. this isn't what this person is suggesting. They're suggesting they're doing other things. I know the person, so there's a bit of CrossFitting in the mix. They're staying active, maybe doing a bit of winter sports, but nothing, you know, huge. They're not doing massive hours or anything like that. So the question is, you know, will it be enough?
It's an interesting question.
And then you need to ask for what? And that's what we don't necessarily know here is, you know, what is the goal? Are we getting ready for Unbound Gravel 200 miles in end of May, early June? Or is it, you know, I want to ride mountain bikes with my friends sometime in May, you know, in Ontario here where we are, it's end of May usually. Mm-hmm. And it's for some reason we have, it's all open now in March, but this is any regular year perhaps. So yeah, it sort of really depends. Like, what are you getting ready for? Because if the deadline is not super ambitious to what you're usually used to, or the deadline is more like July, then you have lots of time when it's here the middle of March.
Well, and I think this is one of the really interesting things with cross training. We sort of lump a lot of things into cross training, but all things cross training aren't necessarily created equal. So, you know, for example, back in 2019, 2020, we were coaching that Ontario Cycling Camp in Spain, where we were going to be on bike for like 25 hours, ridiculous hours per week, with pretty fast juniors.
Mm-hmm. And for like, not just survive 1 week. I think it was like three or four weeks.
3 or 4 week camp. Well, we had a 4 week camp because we had 3 weeks of that and then 1 week of our gravel camp. So I think I rode 5 or 6 times prior to that camp.
Plus you're running.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So my cross training was running. But that, it was sort of almost like one-to-one, like it really did equal out quite well. So that way, when I did get on the bike at the camp, I didn't have any problems. Mm-hmm. But I'd say running and cycling are very like equally matched in terms of the like aerobic nature of them. So it was a lot easier for me to just transition from running to riding pretty seamlessly, I would say.
Mm-hmm. I think you had maybe 2 weeks of prep, and maybe you did a couple trainer rides before we left, but
I don't think I did any trainer rides.
We were there early. So yeah, you didn't do it. You were definitely run training before that, but you did do a little bit to sort of transition in, which is probably, you know, here for this question, we're in middle of March. So now might be the time where this person could, if they're at a CrossFit gym, they could jump on an Aerodyne machine or the assault bikes where there's like the handles with the pedals, you know, just for a little extended cardio. That could be before or after a class even.
Well, that's where I was trying to go with that is like CrossFit strength training, all that stuff. Like we love it as cross training, but it may not really prepare you for like endurance cycling. Mm-hmm. Like you'll get back into it and yes, no problem, but there might be a bit more of a ramp up than right. Just like a quick transition where it just flows from one to the other.
Right. Yeah. And I think that stuff, you know, the mental toughness, the overall strength, the range of motion, there's going to be a lot of pros to that. And you know, usually in the off season and the cross training, we'd like to see it look a lot different. But then at some point, as we were talking about with the last question, you do want the stuff to start looking like the stuff. So if the goal is to get ready for mountain biking with friends, end of May, early June, as we get into April, you know, 6 weeks out, 4 weeks out, we do want to do more. And I think the seasons usually start indicating and people will start riding a little bit more outside, you know, in this case where we don't have access to a trainer. But if I was trying to move this person in that direction, I would say, can we get out for some big hikes? Can we get like, what are our options? Is there an exercise bike? Could we ride a trainer? Is it just, you haven't been, you have the thing, you just don't really like it. You could start sprinkling that into, again, just some call it zone two, some 30, 40 minute zone two rides on the trainer, watch your favorite show, you know, 2 times a week on top of your CrossFit, maybe get out on the weekend. If the weather's decent, hiking, if you can't ride, to get just that long low gear. A lot of the CrossFit folks love the weighted, like rucking, like with mm-hmm. a weight vest. So something like that uphill is going to be more specific to biking. So I would do some of that.
You know, we're in a town where it would be fairly easy to ride to CrossFit.
You could start riding or walking, honestly, like mm-hmm. just to get a longer workout in where it's, yeah, I was moving for 2 hours. So like I walked 30 minutes to CrossFit, did CrossFit for an hour, 30 minutes back home. And just warm up, cool down. Like you're not trying to run or be the hero of walking or anything, but some of that is mental. Some of it is just the cardiovascular load. CrossFit folks, often it's that low gear that they're missing. Not, you know, they're used to working for almost an hour. Their heart rate's up for a lot of that class. And then probably, you know, 5 to 20 minutes of that could be like a burner where they're actually like really vigorously mm-hmm. working. So yeah, we're just trying to shift that over a little bit, but Yeah, I don't th I think you could go deep on, actual exercises in the CrossFit, but I don't think so. I think if there was ever an option like versus rowing versus the biking stuff, I would maybe, start trending towards more bike stuff, obviously, if you could do a bit more of that, because that would be great, even if it was like 30-second intervals on an assault bike or a spin bike or a Aerodyne, something like that. That could be, again, you're just pedaling. So I think probably take the specificity when you can get it this time of year. But all that to say, I don't think that this person would be alone, but it is sort of dependent a little bit on, like, if you're trying to race something, especially in the spring, the training is more year round and a little more specific. But I see no reason that you couldn't stay fit, with CrossFit, with cross training, and then sort of ease it into the season as the season comes.
As we often say, cross training, not a
Not a
crime.
crime.
Too bad you're not wearing a t-shirt
Not wearing a
today.
t-shirt today,
But
but it is available in the Consummate Athlete shop.
consummateathlete.com/shop. All right. Well, with that, I think we will wrap up for today. As always, keep sending the questions. You can find us on Instagram at consummateathlete, consummateathlete.com for the contact form, consummateathlete.com/shop for all the fun stuff. And yeah, remember, Becoming a Consummate Athlete, our first book is out on Kindle Unlimited if you do want to check it out. All right. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we will see you next week.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the Consummate Athlete podcast. If you want to hear more training, racing, and endurance sport advice, make sure you subscribe to the podcast and leave us a rating and review. You can also subscribe to our newsletter at consummateathlete.com for a weekly dose of inspiration and advice straight to your inbox.